health in the Delaware River Basin and beyond. DamascusCitizens.org. This is Rosie Starr for Radio Catskill. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, Christine San Jose celebrates May along the Poets' Row and recites lovely words for fun and inspiration. And Tanis Qualchuk and Jess Beveridge walk us through the planted flower beds at Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm as they plan their colorful floral bouquets. All of that coming up on today's Farm and Country here on Radio Catskill. But first, news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Efforts continue to tighten voting laws, especially the rules that affect early voting and ballot drop boxes. The latest are underway in the Ohio legislature. Ohio Public Radio's Karen Kassler reports.
The bill, sponsored by nearly half of Republicans in the Ohio House, would limit counties to one ballot drop box and cut the days they can be used. It would also increase ID requirements for early absentee ballots and shorten the time available to request them. Sponsoring Representative Bill Seitz acknowledges there was no widespread voter fraud reported in the 2020 election, including in Ohio.
We don't know what we don't know. These kinds of measures are important to beef up our system.
Ohio saw record early voter turnout in 2020. And while Democrats appeared to be requesting far more ballots than Republicans, former President Trump ended up winning Ohio by 8 points. For NPR News, I'm Karen Kassler in Columbus.
At this hour in Elizabeth City, North Carolina, a march is getting underway as civil rights leaders call for more answers in the fatal shooting of Andrew Brown Jr. by sheriff's deputies last month. The demonstration has been organized by religious leaders, and NPR's Sarah McCammon has details.
Bishop William Barber is leading the clergy march in Elizabeth City, where Andrew Brown Jr. was fatally shot by Pasquotank County sheriff's deputies during an attempted arrest. Barber spoke at Brown's funeral this week.
You are right to grieve, your right to be angry, your right to crowd in pain, but you can take comfort that people who never knew Andrew will fight for justice now because of him.
A judge has blocked the public release of body cam footage from the shooting while a criminal investigation is underway. Activists are calling for the immediate release of the tape, as well as a special prosecutor to oversee the case and passage of police reform legislation. Sarah McCammon, NPR News.
The pace of COVID-19 vaccinations has slowed this week across the United States, but some people now getting their doses are among those who had been holding off. Blake Farmer of member station WPLN reports from the mass vaccination site at Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
The Army is having a difficult time convincing its youngest soldiers to get the vaccine. They're just not at high risk of complications from COVID, even though the virus could spread quickly through the ranks and has. Specialist Lauren Rice, who's 35 weeks pregnant, says she opted out until she heard getting the shot was not only safe, but might protect her little girl.
Whenever the studies came out that you can pass the antibodies to your baby before it's even born, that was my selling point.
For now, the COVID-19 vaccine is one of the few shots service members are allowed to decline, though that will likely change when federal regulators grant full approval. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer at Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
This is NPR News.
Support comes from Van Gorder's Furniture, featuring Lodge and Adirondack styles as well as rustic collections. With showrooms at Lake Wallenpaupack, downtown Honesdale, and Milford, PA, Van Gorder's Furniture brings the outdoors inside. VanGorders.com.
This is Rosie Starr. Welcome back to Farming Country. Coming up, we have a visit to Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm with Tanis and Jess, who show us how flower bouquets start as seedlings in the springtime. First, let's celebrate the merry month of May with Christine San Jose along the Poets' Row. Thank you for joining us for this week's locally produced Farm and Country.
For WJFF and Farm and Country, this is Christine San Jose. You know what's going on along the Poets Row today? Now is the month of Maying. Huh, who said that? Well, Shakespeare, of course, so here we go. Oh, one thing I should say. When I say fa-la, you know, this really is a song, and so when I'm just going to say fa-la, but you have to imagine and feel free to do your own fa-las, that I'm actually going fa-la-la-la-la-la-la, fa-la-la-la-la, with any number of fa-la-las. Enjoy yourself with it. William Shakespeare. Now is the month of Maying, when merry lads are playing fa-la, each with his bonny lass upon the greeny grass, fa-la-la-la. The spring, clad all in gladness, doth laugh at winter's sadness, fa-la. And to the bagpipe's sound the nymphs tread out their ground, fa-la. Why then, why sit we musing, youth's sweet delight refusing, fa-la? Say, dainty nymphs, and speak, shall we play barley break? Fa-la-la-la, fa-la-la. Hope you did lots of fa-la-la-ling out there. I've no idea what playing barley break is, but it's fun. So, now, through the kindness of Highlights for Children, we have a realistic view of May. And this is what Marshall has to say. The sound of rain. A tip, a slap, a dash, a smash, thunder and lightning so high in the sky. Oh my, do not cry. A crack, a pop, a shatter. No matter, a sprinkle, a tinkle, rain. And now here is a May poem to conjure with by the master Gerard Manley Hopkins. It's called Ash Boughs. And you know, don't worry if you don't get every word of it and how they fit together. You really have to read Gerard Manley Hopkins several times and say it to yourself before you kind of get it. And even then you probably don't get the whole thing. But just, you know, open up to it and enjoy. Ash Boughs by Gerard Manley Hopkins. Not of all my eyes see wandering on the world, is anything a milk to the mind so sighs deep poetry to it, as a tree whose boughs break the sky. Say it is ash boughs, whether on a December day, unfurled fast, or they clammyish lash-tender combs creep apart wide, and new nestle at heaven most high. They touch heaven, tabor on it, hover on it, here, there, hurled, with talons sweep the smouldering enormous winter welkin. Aye. But more cheer is when May melds blue with snow-white through their fringe and fray of greenery, and old earth gropes for, grasps at steep heaven with it whom she childs things by. Don't you love that? Old earth gropes for, grasps at steep heaven. Gorgeous. This has been Christine San Jose for Farm and Country along the Poets Row.
For WJFF Radio Catskill and Farm and Country, this is Rosie Starr, and I have the opportunity to be with Tanis Qualchuk, visiting her at Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm and Jess Beveridge. I think you'll remember a couple of weeks ago they did this wonderful performance with dancing flowers. But today we're here at the Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm because we want to talk about Ophelia's flowers, which is Tanis's child with all her flowers that go to market. So let's say hello to the audience.
Hi, everybody out there. Hope your flowers and plants are doing great.
And Jess?
Hello, everyone. Happy spring.
Happy spring. So that's why we're here. Tanis is going to give us a little walkabout to tell us what's growing on her Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm Ophelia's flowers bed. And so, Tanis, where would you like to start?
Well, here we are looking out at the farm here in the Farm Arts Collective Greenhouse, which is just outside the perennial flower bed here at the farm. So we are just marveling, Jess and I, we just weeded all the peonies and they were really tiny little, like just the little nubs that were poking up. And now they're like, like they look like palm trees.
Yeah, they sprouted up a few inches within the last few days for sure. It's remarkable.
So I can see them. They're a beautiful color. Describe to the audience, for those who haven't gotten their peonies yet, what they look like at this stage.
Well, at this stage, they're stalks. They're almost like the stalk of an asparagus, right?
Mm, yeah.
That have popped up. But now they're starting to leaf out at the top. We've had a hard winter. We had a pretty cold winter, right? So you look and you go, I don't know if it's going to come up. But they look like they've all like really popped nicely. And there's about four or five different varieties. You know, I try to get the different colors to appeal to all the different, you know, customers who like their kind of peony, whatever. It's pink or white or the dark ones, the purpley dark ones. So
the zone we're in here, 5 or 5A, it's conducive to growing them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can grow peonies in 3. Peonies love cold. I don't even think you can grow peonies if you don't get a cold winter. In fact, I know there is a Texas grower, a pretty famous flower grower in Texas who moved to Minnesota to start a peony farm because you just can't grow peonies in Texas. So they're special to our place here because we get that freeze. Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
When do you expect those to bloom?
Around June, you know, mid-June. We'll see. Everything keeps changing because of warm weather. The spring is definitely like a week earlier.
Yes.
Like we're going to go out and look at the annuals. So it's April 27 and we just planted out our annuals, which is very unusual because we're looking at the weather and it's like there's no chance of frost now. So we just went ahead and did that.
Well, historically, we do have a frost date of like May 15th or even later here, I think.
Yeah, but this is the second or third year where we went into at least a week to a week and a half early. And we haven't yet to regret it. Knock on wood. Knock on that wood. Okay, we're knocking on that wood.
I guess that's why they call it climate change.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we know that Ophelia's flowers eventually get to market. Your bouquets are stunning for all the lucky recipients. I, being one of them, look forward to them every year. Your bouquets are just wonderful. How do you start to plan those?
Well, I like to try new ones every year, and then I keep the standards. Like, standards for us are zinnias and celosia and marigolds and what else?
Snapdragons.
Snaps.
Yes.
And this year we'll do poppies. But, you know, maybe what we could do right now is let's walk to our hay grove covered house.
Yeah.
Because that's our earliest flowers that we planted under cover. And then we'll walk to the annuals.
Cool. Okay.
Great.
Let's go.
These are columbines, which are one of the first flowers that are coming up. It's like that and the larkspur, which you can see there's some larkspur in that in that large greenhouse that we planted in October. So the larkspur and the columbine are basically the first flowers.
Columbines are indigenous to this area?
Yeah, I think they're like forest flowers. There's wild varieties that you can find in the forest. And here's some bee balm here that I got from Tracy Ramsey years ago. And then I've added a couple other varieties to it.
We're about to walk over a patch of dandelions. I understand the bees love dandelions.
Oh, yeah, because it's like, what else is blooming for for our hungry bees, right? There's some tree flowers now. I see where our peach tree has some flowers on it over there. But, yeah, it's one of the first flowers.
Yeah.
And, of course, our bodies, like the dandelion, too. The root and the greens are so good.
Yes.
As you can see, the fields here, we've got like 25 fields that are slowly getting tilled and
The garlic far out beyond is got a nice growth on it this year. Our garlic harvest last year was phenomenal. So we planted nice big bulbs in October.
Well, Greg is here for a reason. We know that the soil is very good, but he also knows how to tend and nurture the soil. It's all about the nutrients in the soil.
Yep, and 1/5 of this farm is always under a cover crop, right? So we let it rest, and then we feed it with a natural food of cover crop that gets tilled in. So, okay, here we are. So this is our hay grove greenhouse. There's 13 of these covered hoop houses, and we've got 4 beds of flowers. Do you want to describe them, Jess? Are you up for that?
Sure.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, tell me why you call it a hay grove.
Oh, it's the name of the company, so we just call them the hay groves. It's that simple.
Yes. So we have in our first bed here poppies, some different poppies. We have champagne bubbles, which are like the smaller, colorful ones. And then one of our favorite ones is the drama queen poppy, which is very dramatic and wonderful. Those are the bigger ones that are down there. The next row here is Matricaria, which is feverfew, right? It gets very bushy with little tiny little daisy-looking flowers, which is really great and really great to work with in bouquets because it fills it out a little bit. Then we have snapdragons in a bunch of different colors, which are awesome. And then the last bed is our delphiniums, which get really tall in this beautiful blue and whites and really, really exciting.
You're famous for your delphiniums. They're very hard to grow. You must be blessed with knowledge on how to do it. Well, do you have a secret?
Yes, yes. In fact, I think I revealed the secret in one of the episodes last year. It's about coffee filters.
There you go. So, there you go, world.
It's what I do is I soak a coffee filter in water. I put the seed in it. I let it sit in the fridge for 3 to 4 days, take it out of the fridge, put it on top of the fridge, do some ooh stuff, I guess.
Right. Yep.
And then they literally sprout. And I then plant a sprouted seed, which I know is going to grow. So I have decent luck now. So what do we got here? We got like 4/5 of a bed, if not 5/6 of a bed that we managed to get enough plants. And so there's like 600 feet in each bed. So we've got probably 400 delphinium plants here.
Yeah.
And then just far beyond that is eucalyptus. Okay. I'm trying eucalyptus this year in this greenhouse because I think it's going to do better than in the field. And everyone loves their eucalyptus and their bouquets and whatnot.
Because it smells nice.
So great.
And the color of the leaves are beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's just a really magnificent filler for weddings. Brides always want their eucalyptus. And it's aromatherapy. It keeps you calm.
Yes, exactly.
You know, if you're getting married, you're a little nervous. You probably need a little aromatherapy to stay calm.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited this year, too, about those poppies because there's, like, also Amazing Gray. We have that in there.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's different.
So we're going to do all poppy bouquets this year. This is, like, a design idea I have where I say people are just going to, like, go crazy when they see all the colors and all the varieties of poppies. And one of the secrets for poppy growers out there who might want to make some of their own bouquets, if you got, you know, have a poppy field or whatever, pick them. And then get, those long lighters that you can light a barbecue with and burn the bottoms before you put it in the water. And it'll extend the life. So that's what I'm going to do, basically. We're going to try that this year. It'll be a little extra labor, but I think it'll be worth it so people can have their poppies longer than just the 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that information on YouTube, or how did you figure that out on your own?
Well, I'm not on my own. I'm a member of the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers, and there's this amazing, you know, listserv, and people always post their flower growing secrets. But you know, flower growers are the most generous, amazing. All farmers share information. Mm-hmm. That's one of the nicest things about this community is people don't hold on to information. It's a very generous community.
Well, that's what makes a community is you share what you know, you share what you can do. Yes. Yeah. That's why it's
so good. The more success for farmers, the more, you know, it's just better for everybody.
The community all around, yeah.
What do we have next?
So we have basically 200-foot beds here, and each bed has 3 different varieties. So we have Rudbeckia or Black-Eyed Susan at that end. We have a marigold that's a new variety I'm trying this year called Coco. It's supposed to be really, really, really beautiful. Again, the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers. recommended, and it was one of the varieties that people were raving about last year. We have a new variety I'm trying this year called Mahogany Splendor, and it's going to look like a red oak leaf. It's a foliage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that will be pretty. We've got Nigella that I started. A lot of people just direct seed Nigella, but I just have bad luck with it when I direct seed it and the weeds take over. Yeah. Tell them about basket flower, Jess.
Basket flowers are super cool. Before they bloom, they look like a little basket, almost like a rough cotton ball before they bloom. And then when they bloom, they're like this beautiful, feathery, spiky, purple, lavender kind of color. With a really cool center, and they're super, super cool. So we planted a whole row of them this year, yeah.
What I do have of yours a couple of years now are these straw flowers.
Oh, yes.
Are you growing them this year?
Yeah, you mean the little ones that look like berries? Yes, we're growing them. Gomphrena is what they're called, and we don't have them in this planting. We'll do them in the second planting. Those are good for end of season because they'll be good to keep as a dried flower, right?
They dry really well, which is great. And they keep their color, as you know, I'm sure. Yeah.
Here's another cool plant. It's called Bupleurum, and that's another filler plant. Mm-hmm. But there's benefits to Bupleurum, which are really the Chinese medicine use the root, and it has a lot of benefits. Ageratum, the tall ageratum or blue mink. Scabiosa or the pincushion flower, and we're doing a black one, so it's mm-hmm. it's really dark, a black super color cool. with white little thingies on top. What else is here?
Status, we have the mixed colors, and then the apricot, which are really great. So they're kind of like a straw of like dried flower too when they open, which is really nice. And then our Celosia, a bunch of different varieties of Celosia.
You seem to have the alphabet covered from A to Z.
I know. And wait, we haven't done zinnia yet, but exactly. They're still growing in the big greenhouse. So we'll have zinnia and cosmos, and then a mix of daucus and a few other things. Oh, and there's some sunflowers. We put in sunflowers. Yeah, like, again, this is an example. Insane 15 years ago. Insane 15 years ago. We started those sunflowers in the greenhouse as starts, which is what we always do here, because we'll do another six more plantings of 600 sunflowers. But starting it this early is kind of crazy, but we think it's going to be okay.
Well, now you seem very confident about this frost date. Are you looking at the Farmer's Almanac or what's...
No, just at the long-range weather forecast. And if we can get without a frost into the first week of May, it's generally now at this point okay, because it is a week earlier, right. Spring. That's documented.
Well, we're going to go back into your greenhouse and talk about the herbs.
Great.
We're passing some bushes here.
So these are hydrangeas, and we have them planted all over the Farm Arts mm-hmm. Collective courtyard. But these we use them for cutting. Mm-hmm. So I prune them really, yeah. really, really intensively, like down to my waist, right? But these are cut down real low, and they will give us really tall stems. And that's what people like. Again, florists like that, and customers like it. Mm-hmm. They can make these intensively beautiful, you know, bouquets and arrangements in their homes. And they dry nicely,
yep.
too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have seen them at your Farm Arts Collective performances in the summer, in the
sure.
late summer, right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we decorated the whole set with them. Remember, we tied them up to the
exactly, we
to
did, the yeah. tents. The corners of the tent, yep.
And this is another variety of the hydrangea. It's the snowball variety. They'll come a bit earlier, and they're a little smaller and kind of fluffy like cloud stuff. I don't know, they're pretty.
Yeah. Oh, what are these lovely things?
Those are daylilies. I got them from Meg Montgomery. She was our trumpeter with us for one of the shows a couple of years ago. And she collects these and cultivates them. And she gave me a selection of her favorite daylilies. And they're doing great.
Yeah, they look really good.
Thank you, Meg. They look good.
They look great.
Come and see them. And here's some lady's mantle, because they look really nice with the peonies. Those chartreuse flowers will look really good with peonies. And they'll come up at the same time as the peonies.
The leaves look like geranium leaves.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful in the morning after a dew. The drops just look like these beautiful glass balls mm-hmm. on top of the leaf. Yeah.
Do you cover any of these beds in the winter with straw or hay?
No, I just let them die down. You see, I haven't even cleaned these beds. I've let the leaves just stay there. It's a kind of protection. Its own leaf protects it, if right. you know what I mean. So I just let it be and then slowly Lift. Clean it up. Like right. even over, look at the yarrow. Yeah. I haven't even cleaned it because it's just growing fine and that's a good mulch.
And at the end of this row, what is this lovely purple topped?
That's just a little lilac that I put in. I want to start growing some lilac trees. We just have to figure out where on the farm, and we still haven't sorted that out. But we want to do trees here. We're just trying to figure it all out.
Okay, let's go back in and look at your herbs. Herbs are wonderful to cook with. Mm. Do you sell your herbs at the farmer's market?
Well, we're actually selling herbs and starts this year at the Agway in Calicoon. So we are potting, all of these are going to be going off to Calicoon, Agway, True Value, and will be sold. Yeah. So these are like, so we got some thyme and oregano and sage and rosemary behind us. Mm-hmm. So very popular, great. They'll do great. They're really healthy looking plants.
Yeah, they look really
so
good.
I hope they find a good home. They're just beautiful. And again, it's organic. It's, so there's not been one speck of fertilizer or pesticide on it.
And well, how do you get them so green?
It's good soil. It's the right kind of timing. It's potting them up so their roots have a lot of room to grow. And it's healthy. Yeah. It's healthiness. Yeah.
Well, outside here, there's a perimeter, a border. What is that?
This is our perennial herb garden. And so if you want to, peek under, this is sorrel, which is a very sour, amazing green leaf that people like to use for borscht. If you're Slavic and make your borscht, but also to make salads and make sauces. The French use it to make a nice like butter sauce that's just delicious with fish. Then you have your lovage, and that's a really strong herb, again, good for soups. And then we have our chives, and then we have a whole variety of mints, the mojito mints, the spearmint, culinary mints. Yeah, that's what we got.
Well, I spend a lot of time in the kitchen, and I appreciate all of these herbs. I use all of them in salads, in soups. I'm just loving being in here, thinking the future of these things are in my kitchen.
In fact, you didn't even mention the lunch you just ate here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
that. Oh, yes. Let's talk about I was invited to come a few minutes early and sit and have lunch with Tanis, and I walked in, and I see two bowls. So what did we have for lunch?
We had some pasta with fresh, crispy sage, some of the sage that we see mm-hmm. here, and garlic, last year's garlic, which is still doing great, and butter, because butter makes it all taste mm-hmm. good. And then we made a big little gem salad. So the salad we had was a red leaf little gem salad, which is really beautiful coming out of the heated greenhouse.
With delicious organic olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
We try.
We hope that you enjoyed our show this week with production by volunteer Christine San Jose. Special thanks goes to our guests, Tanis Qualchuk and Jess Beveridge, who tend the flower gardens at Will-O-Wisp Organic Farm. This has been your host, Rosie Starr. Thanks for listening to Farm and Country on WJFF Radio Catskill. Support for Farm and Country comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, a community-supported, science-based nonprofit, taking legal actions, providing tools for action, and raising awareness of fracking damage since 2008, proactively protecting public health in the Delaware River Basin and beyond. DamascusCitizens.org. Whatever you do for Mother's Day, make time in the evening for live music to heal the heart and soothe the soul by two great Catskill musicians. Join Jay Unger and Molly Mason of the Ashokan Center for a special performance at the Quiet Room.